Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are diving in again today, friends, on Romans chapter 8. We made it through a couple of the first few verses yesterday, but this stuff is powerful. It's powerful, and it's the simplicity of the gospel. And in my own life and my own walk with the Lord, and this is why I want to bring these verses to you, friends, and these scriptures that we read, that we maybe know about, into our lives on a consistent basis, because I was thinking about this as we were reading yesterday and I was meditating on it again, is as we are reading this, this is the foundation of our faith. This is who we are, what Jesus has done for us, how that affects our lives, and how we begin to believe it and now live. Because Paul is going to get pretty instructional on how he wants us to live. And for my own walk with the Lord, it's like for so much of my life, I knew these verses and I'd be like, oh, these are such good verses. Yes, like no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But in the past number of years of my life, I've been reading these verses, meditating on them, and actually being given the grace to believe them. And it sounds so simple and it sounds so wild, but it's transformative. And when I was reading it yesterday, and as we were praying with it, and as I was praying with it after, I was like, wow, I believe this. This is not just a good truth. It's not just fun to talk about. This is the foundation of my life, that no matter what happens to me in this world, no matter if I get what I want, no matter if I don't get what I want, no matter if I'm successful, not successful, no matter if I have money, if I don't have money, no matter if I have suffering or if I don't have suffering, whatever happens to me, wherever I go in my life, the defining aspects of my life are I have no condemnation in Christ. I'm living free under the yoke of acceptance and freedom that God has given me by belonging to Him. And I have been freed from the law of sin and death. And I'm living now as a baptized believer in the law of the Spirit of life. My life, this is why it has to affect you. This is why the Spirit has to bring this alive in you. Because the spiritual reality of a baptized believer is you are living a life dictated by the law of the Spirit of life. Life that is found in Christ Jesus. So friends, this is powerful stuff. It's amazing, amazing stuff that we need to take to heart. So let's pray. I want to read those first eight verses again, and then we're going to kind of see where we get and where the Holy Spirit takes us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you for these truths. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that this is real. We thank you that we can be transformed in its power. We thank you that we take it to heart and that it changes us. Thank you, Lord. We ask that as we go on and we continue to read this passage, that these words would transform us, that these words would take us deeper, that we would come to know more and more who we are and who you are by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus. We ask you to settle our hearts, settle our minds, wherever we are, and open the eyes of our heart to hear your word and to see your face. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to read those first eight verses again. We got through about three of the verses, and we're going to see where the Holy Spirit wants to take us. So again, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Once again, we're picking up pretty much at verse 3. There's so much good stuff. So yesterday, with about 30 seconds left, we began to talk about this idea of God condemning sin in the flesh. So it says here in verse 3, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So Jesus himself is not sinful flesh, but he comes as a man in the likeness of sinful flesh, fully God, fully man, real human flesh. Why? In order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So here's the setup. Man sins, man falls, man, all men have fallen short of the glory of God. Sin enters into the world. It enters into the DNA of man. So us who are made in the image and likeness of God, our flesh is now sinful. Because when we talk about the flesh and the Spirit, we're not talking about like the body is bad. This is not Paul giving some idea of like Gnosticism of like, or dualism of like only the mind is good, only knowledge is good, and the body is bad. And so what he's saying here, he's saying the flesh, when we refer to the flesh, the Bible says the world, the flesh, and the devil, like the power of the prince of the air, of really like the fallen world, the world that is corrupted by sin. So there's been a corruption to us. And so Jesus comes into the flesh because what happens is the law still brings down a requirement on sinful flesh, because we were never meant to be sinful. It was never meant to be this way, right? We were meant to live with God forever. So now there's a gap. There's a chasm. This is the gospel. There's a chasm now. And so there's a just requirement of the law. Just like when somebody commits murder, the just requirement of the law is that there is a punishment. Right? That the requirement of the law is fulfilled through a sentencing and a punishment. So whether that's life in prison, some kind of punishment needs to be given to fulfill the just requirement of the law. And it's so, I love how it says just, the just requirement of the law, because St. Anselm talks about this in his writings about like how God basically like had, I think it was St. Anselm, I'll double check on that, but God basically had like this problem. And the problem was he didn't want to violate his mercy by just like wiping out the human race again, but he didn't want to violate his justice by not fulfilling the just requirement of the law, right? And so he couldn't do either things. He couldn't violate his mercy by just wiping everybody out, but he also couldn't violate his justice by just letting it slide, right? He couldn't just let sin slide, because that would violate his justice. And so God does something to fulfill his mercy and to fulfill his justice, and he sends his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And so in the flesh of Jesus, as he dies on the cross, the punishment for sin is given on the cross. That's why it's called justification. The just requirement of the law is fulfilled. And it's not a completely theologically accurate one-to-one example, but a good way to think about it, to help understand, would be you're standing and you're about to be condemned for a crime that you committed. You're standing before a judge. A judge is about to sentence you and bring the just requirement of the law for the crime that you committed. And Jesus says, I will take the sentencing, and you, because I'm taking the sentencing, are pronounced innocent. Because I'm pronounced guilty, you're pronounced innocent. And it's not a one-to-one ratio, but it is a good understanding of what's happening there. So the just requirement of the law is now fulfilled in Jesus, and it's also fulfilled in us. This is what's so amazing about what Paul writes. Because the punishment is fulfilled in Jesus, the just requirement of the law is fulfilled in us. We do not have an outstanding debt. It's like someone paying $10,000 for you, and then you don't have the debt anymore. Your debt is wiped clean. My debt is wiped clean. This is why we do not walk under the yoke of condemnation anymore. Friends, this is the reality of the gospel and why everyone needs to hear it and why everyone needs to be brought into the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God wants us to live under that easy yoke in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk now, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So all of this, the fulfillment of the just requirement of the law, God setting us free from the law of sin and death, the condemnation of sin in the flesh. And it's amazing. You see how God does this? Because he does not want to condemn us because he's merciful. So he condemns sin in the flesh so that we have a chance to walk by the Spirit in newness of life. He does not condemn us. He condemns sin in the flesh through his Son so we can walk free. We can live a life without condemnation. So because the just requirement of the law is fulfilled in Jesus and now fulfilled in us, we can walk not according to the flesh. Before, we couldn't walk according to the Spirit. All we knew was the flesh. Our flesh was corrupted. Our flesh was taking over. It was dominated by concupiscence, by the desire to sin, by pushing us towards sin, by pushing us towards selfishness. It's why Paul says in Romans chapter 7, why do I do what I don't want to do and I can't do actually what I want to do? One of the most relatable passages in all of Scripture. I want to be good. I want to follow God. I want to do all these things, but it's much easier for me to be selfish, for me to be snappy, for me to be rude, for me to be unholy, all of these things, because without Christ, our sinful flesh is alive. And we cannot walk according to the Spirit because we're living under the law of sin and death. So the only path we can walk without the law of the Spirit of life over us is a law of sin and death. But now we walk a new way of life for those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walking according to the Spirit, life in the Spirit. What is a sign of resurrection life? Walk in the Spirit. This is a theme in Galatians. It's a theme in Ephesians. Walk worthy of the gospel I've received over and over again. This thing that God has done for us. And this is where sometimes the disconnection comes. That I love when Pope Francis, he said, you know, we don't need sourpuss Christians. We don't need people who aren't smiling and filled with joy. This is where the rubber meets the road, saying God has done this thing. It doesn't mean I'm perfect all the time. It doesn't mean I'm always happy. It doesn't mean I always feel great, but it does mean my life is changed enough that because all of this has happened to me, because there's no condemnation, because I'm freed from the law of sin and death, because sin and the justification of sin has been condemned in the flesh, now I walk by the Spirit. I walk differently. Friends, take into consideration before we meet back again tomorrow, how are you walking? By the Spirit or in the flesh? God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.